97.5, The Fanatic.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 6 on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Connor Thomas producing the show today. 610-632-0975 is the number to participate. A lot going on. I hope everyone had a lovely and wonderful weekend. But how good could it really be under the circumstances? But we'll start with the word of the day. The word of the day is pause. We'll pause for a second because of, well, to start, the Bryce Harper situation. So, on the one hand, and this is the thing I was referring to, the Phillies won 3 of 4. They go on the road against a playoff team. They won 3 of 4 on the road, but they lost Bryce Harper to a broken thumb. We don't yet know the timetable. He's supposed to be finding out soon whether or not he needs surgery, and then they'll go from there. Hit by a pitch. Wasn't dirty, and we can get into whether or not there should have been some retaliation, because that's been bandied about that even though it wasn't on purpose, someone should have went down for them. We'll get into that later. And normally that would be doom and gloom because the team has not been good without Bryce Harper, really since Bryce Harper has arrived in the city. But I'm going to say put a pause on that because yesterday, now it was just one game, but they've only played one game. They're off today. It looked to me like they responded well mentally. As you saw in the NBA playoffs last year, and we know over the long haul you need Harper back. But what happens if Harper's out 1 month? That's happened in the past. I think that happened with Utley, where he only missed a month after breaking the thumb in, 07. They end up coming back, making the playoffs. Who knows? So let's wait and see. Also, let's wait and see. We saw in the playoffs with Joel Embiid, once he went out, we saw in games 1 and 2 against Miami, that this team was completely ill-equipped to exist without him. Really, no one stepped up, unfortunately. Not Harden, not Maxey, Tobias tried. No one really was able to step up. Let's pause on the doom and gloom for a second and wait and see how this team responds without him this time. Now, I cannot pretend at all like, oh, you shouldn't be concerned. You can be concerned. I can't pretend like the odds say they'll be terrible without him. But they do have new pieces. Schwarber right now is the hottest guy in baseball. Second in the majors, one behind for the home run. He's got 21 home runs, 5 in the last 10 games. All I'm saying is that not to be upset, and we'll discuss it today, but let's pause and see if these guys are able to respond better than they have in the past. Now, maybe they don't, but maybe they do. And I just think that we should try to take it day by day. Let's see what the prognosis is. Now, if they say Harper's done for the year, well, then the year could be done, but even then, give the new guys. All of a sudden, Castellanos is getting hot, getting a lot of hits. We already mentioned Schwarber. JT has found some power. I mean, I didn't think I would ever see the day. He's found his power stroke again. All I'm saying is pause before panicking about the Bryce Harper situation because maybe these guys can tread water, backup goalie theory style, until he's able to return. We'll talk to Scott Lauber about this at 4:30. But until we know how long he's out and until we truly see them over weeks at a time without him, don't get all upset yet. They scored 8 runs just yesterday without him. Just pause before panic. Is that fair?
Totally fair. Totally fair. I might even go further than where you're going right now, and we could discuss that to the point where I think they're still in a fine spot, and concern with Bryce Harper is okay. But this team, with the talent they have, and the teams they're playing largely the rest of the way, still a top 5 easiest schedule in all of baseball. Mm-hmm. If we pretend, like, if you took the Bryce Harper I want to call it, let's call it nostalgia. Like remembering what this team was with Bryce Harper out of the equation. Mm-hmm. This is still a team that should be able to play over 500 baseball the rest of the way and be in the mix.
And that's fair. They're over 500 now. It's clear that that wasn't a fluke. Now, they were never going to win 14 out of 17 over and over and over again. But it's clear this is not a fluke. This is a good baseball team. They just went on the road, beat a good baseball team. They've won 6 of their last 7 series. Let's not panic yet. Pause. Second way to pause. So there's still the P.J. Tucker rumors out there. And we know right now that the Sixers don't have the money to actually give him the contract that's being reported, which would mean another move would be mandatory. And I know we've discussed this and people say, oh, he's too old and this and that. But I'm going to say pause for a second. Because the news from up north is changing everything. And this is where we pause. Because while now things that were impossible, let's say 2 weeks ago, and were a pipe dream a week ago, are now at least worth discussing. So if you're not up to date, I thought all along that this was posturing. When you had the Shams and Woj, basically like Kyrie's camp speaks to one, KD's camp speaks to the other, and they both go on within minutes of each other. I thought that was posturing for leverage so that Kyrie would come back and KD would get his way, and the Nets would try to run it back and add the Australian and see what would happen. And I really thought that even this morning, I thought, well, eventually cooler heads will prevail. Kyrie will recognize that because of his own self, there's not the market for him out there like there was before. He'll return where he really the only place he can get max money and move on up there and try to win one more year. Come to find out that pretty much every source now, forget Shams and Woj, local sources, New York sources, L.A., everywhere, in one way or the other, Kyrie's done up there. Kyrie's done up there. So you say, well, this is a Philadelphia sports station. Why does that matter? Well, I'll tell you why that matters. Apparently, he's so out of there that he's willing to opt out of $36 million and perhaps sign for the taxpayer mid-level exception with L.A. and then sign a big deal after that. Okay? That's what's out there now. There's no way in hell KD's happy. Because now he looks around, and rather than when he first arrived saying, oh, man, I'm going to have Kyrie and Harden, we're going to win multiple championships and be a dynasty. Now he looks, and his best teammate is a guy who doesn't even enjoy to play the game of basketball. That now means that he may not want to stay, because why would he want to stay? And that means that he'll want to go to a winner. And maybe he doesn't want to move far. And just last week, I thought, well, there's no way the KD thing could really happen. Tell me now, you worried about P.J. Tucker? Pause on that. Hold on. If you can get KD, do you care about the age of P.J. Tucker then? If I can figure out a trade, KD says, listen, I got a lot of money. Look at this team. I want out. I only want to go to the Sixers. All right, what could the Sixers want? Well, here's a nice Tobias Harris, who I don't want to trade, but for Kevin Durant, I mean, all right, I don't have a choice. Hey, it's closer to home. You're from Long Island. Unfortunately for him, but fortunately for us, this is now in the mix right now. So all I'm saying is pause on all the P.J. Tucker rumors, and we'll get into the Thibault situation. He could also go in the trade. To get KD if need be. I would sacrifice Thibault if I had to get Kevin Durant on this team with Harden and with Joel Embiid. I'm saying pause on all moves. Like if you're the Sixers, you can still be talking, but you got to pause. Do not make any moves until you find out the status of one Kevin Durant. And they'll know like Wednesday. Wednesday, Kyrie has to decide whether he's going to opt in or opt out. That'll be a step. He actually opts out and really then is just going to sign for the mid-level. Well, the Nets, apparently the Nets would prefer that than the return from the Lakers. They don't like that. That has to make KD then available. And if KD's available, Mr. Morey, respectfully, Mr. Brand, Mr. Rivers, please, I'm a humble servant here. Pause what you're doing. Call up north. Find out if you can do it. Now, what did the odds say? I don't know. Also, don't care. I don't care. You tell everybody, all league business is on hold. until we find out about that guy. Because if that guy could come here, well, then the Sixers can win a championship. The process was all worth it. And the best part about it is Ben Simmons will be up there all alone. Oh, how that would make me happy. Oh, how great would that be, Connor? How great would that be?
I would love it. I would absolutely love it. Now, there's a question about it. And I'm not saying it precludes any of this from happening.
All right.
But James Harden ditching Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving up there at the trade deadline, asking out, even though he tried to pretend like he wasn't actually asking out, does that leave a sour enough taste in Kevin Durant's mouth that he would avoid going to maybe the best option in the Sixers and want to not play with Harden again?
It's possible. Or Harden just says, listen, Kevin, you know I've always loved you. You know, KD, we're good friends. Going way back to OKC. It was that crazy Kyrie. I knew he was going to do that. I was just getting ahead of it. I couldn't tell you. Okay, if I told you, it'd have been too hard for me to leave. I never wanted to leave you, Kevin. I just knew that crazy Kyrie was going to eventually act crazy. And I knew this was coming, so I just got ahead of it. That would be what I would say to him.
Okay.
Now, hey, I'm going out tonight. You would like to come out with us? You can come out, then we'll go shoot around. I mean, you know, let bygones be bygones. I was never upset with you, ever. I was upset, of course, with crazy Kyrie. He thinks the world is flat. I thought he was joking. We had a one-on-one. He told me he was serious. Once he said that, I knew I had to get out of there. And that's all it was. It had nothing to do with you. That's what he has to say. I don't care if he has to grovel. You get it done. And you don't go get a PJ Tucker. You don't move a Thibault. You do nothing. You do nothing else until you find out if there's even a 1% chance you can get Kevin Durant now that Kyrie's going to be out of there. If there's no way, then you move on and you focus on business as usual. But right now, word of the day, you pause. You pause. And just so I'm clear, as far as the Sixers go, with Kyrie, no. I know he's on the list of possible team answers. No, you do not want him. I know you might think you want him. I don't care if he wants to sign for the $6 million. Well, ask if he'll just sign for the $6 million. You can just cut him. Fine. But if you have to pay him the max and give up stuff to get him, it's a hard no on him.
Correct.
But Kevin Durant, I'm telling you, let's everybody pause. So 610-632-0975. Phillies, how do you feel right now? Should we give this team a chance to weather the storm? See if they make a rental-type trade. Let's see what they do before we decide that the season's over. And Sixers, there's PJ Tucker rumors. There's Thibault rumors. Keepon Pay wrote a great story about it for the Inquirer. We'll get into it. But shouldn't we pause, find out about KD, and then do the rest of the offseason work? 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 6 on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 6-6-1-0-6-3-2-0-9-7-5. 2 o'clock hour brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies. For every heating and cooling job, visit one of Ferguson's kind of locations at Ben Salem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester today. And now it's time to start the Twitter poll powered by Paul B. Moore and Sons in Doylestown, PA. It's mower time, although now with all this crazy rain, it's going to be even more mowing to do before you crack open a cold one and obsessively manicure your lawn. Schedule more maintenance at poweredbymoyer.com. Connor, what is the Twitter poll today?
Thanks, Ty. Our Twitter poll today. What does an extended injury absence for Bryce Harper mean for the Phillies' chances this season? Will they, and here are the options, still make the playoffs, come up just short, play under 500 baseball, or fall completely apart. Right now, voting is in that order with still make the playoffs leading, just short, play under 500, fall completely apart in that order. But early voting, we'll see what the people think about their chances.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking about. Again, just pause. Just pause. I'm not even telling you that it's going to be fine, although I have a lot more faith in the team this year than like last year's team. And you have a guys with a with track records of hitting. Eventually, they would have to hit. Maybe they hit. And this team, if they hit, they win. There are people on social media, oh, it's about the bullpen, blah, blah. And we'll get into the bullpen and how well they've been, how well they've pitched lately. But if they score runs, they can win. They're still built to score runs. And right now, there's a slim silver lining. I mean, it's slim. It's small. I will admit. But it's small, but not a DH spot you have for a little while. You have that. And while he's healing the thumb, maybe that elbow's healing. Talking about Harper. And if it's a month, maybe 1 month from now, because that would have been the time where he would have been allowed to throw, maybe he can rehab the elbow while the thumb's in the cast, and who knows. But you do have some flexibility with the DH. Maybe they make a move. I'm saying just pause. And same thing with the Sixers. I don't know what Kevin Durant's availability is going to be, but neither do any of you, because none of us really thought there would ever be a chance that an athlete would turn down over $36 million to play in New York City, his preferred city that he claimed he wanted to be in, and possibly take $6 million all the way across the country. So while, oh, it might not happen, yeah, but it might, and you pause everything. I don't make any PJ Tucker. Do not move any assets yet. You wait until you find out about You pause. Wait. Hold on. Find out about KD, and then business as usual. And we'll find out pretty quick, because there's no way he's happy right now. There's just no way.
No chance.
He's stuck with Ben Simmons, and that's
I wouldn't want to be there.
The whole point of Ben Simmons' situation was he was supposed to fill in around what KD and Kyrie do. Without Kyrie there, now you're relying on him. Now you're relying on him. And they know he's not reliable. He's not. So with that in mind, you pause. You pause.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 6. 612-632-0975, where the day is. Pause. Pause. We got a lot going on right now, but you pause for a second, because sometimes inactivity can end up helping you in the long run. Sometimes it's the moves you don't make. Imagine a scenario in which on draft day, they move all these pieces, you get P.J. Tucker in here, and now you find out that Thibodeau was an important piece for Brooklyn. Now, at the time, before he wasn't, because he wouldn't have been allowed to play in Brooklyn. They changed that rule. Now he just couldn't play in Canada. Maybe they liked him and said, you know what? We need a defensive player. He's 25. We'll take a shot. But he's already gone because you had to get P.J. Tucker. You don't do that yet. You wait, because that's what's still out there. Stein is pushing it hard. Other people are saying that they're basically acting like it's just a matter of when and not even if. As soon as they create enough space to give him the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, P.J. Tucker's here, 3 years, $30 million. That's how it's being treated. Well, I don't want to do that. Now, I'm not against it the way other people are, but I don't want to do that until I'm 100% sure there's no way to get Kevin Durant. Then, I'm fine.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Keith Pompey, you know, we love Keith. Keith's been on regularly. We love Keith. But he wrote something for the Inquirer, and I'm a person where when someone presents something to me, even if I resist it, I still try to soak it in and see if it makes sense and then decide if it's good or bad. So he said, ultimately, if they trade Thibodeau, in his opinion, that they'll ultimately regret it because he can still develop into a better shooter and he's only 25 years old. That's what Keith's opinion, and you should read his piece for the Inquirer.
Thank you, Keith. Your check from the Matisse Thibodeau fan club is in the mail.
Yes. So then it made me pause for a second because I'm thinking, Keith knows the game. He knows the team. Let me think about what he's saying. So, and that was the start. With P.J. Tucker this year in the playoffs, what are the odds he's better than Thibault. In me, it's like 97% chance, maybe 99%, because I question, I personally question Thibault's commitment to basketball, because I know what players do to make themselves available, and it's things that sometimes people wouldn't do for an office job or something like that. They go above and beyond, even though their job is physical, to make sure they're available for their team.
Like if I had a broken face, a la Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I'm not coming in
here. You wouldn't see me here for a month.
Yeah, I'm not coming in here. Nope. Right. That's a good example. When they were talking about the Toradol shots that football players get in order to play, when you really kind of shouldn't do that. I'm not taking a Toradol shot to go to work. Like, pro athletes go above and beyond to be available. And he did less than the minimum to be available, talking about Thibault. So that made me question his commitment to the game and his commitment to getting better. Because if it's not really, really important to you, you're not going to do it. Like, think about anything in anybody's life. If it's not really, really important to you, you're not going to make the sacrifices to really do it. Like I have someone else cut the lawn. Why? I want it to look nice, but I don't want to be invested in the right kind of seed and turf builder and all that stuff. Like, that's not for me. Okay. I'm not invested in it. Therefore, like, can I cut grass? Yeah. Do I want to cut grass? And it's a townhouse, not much. So just, hey, do it real quick. You do it. Like, could I do it? Yeah. Do I want to? No. So I don't. I think if you don't love something, if you don't really care. Like, I, there are people who take a lot of pride in washing their own car. Like, they got the hose out, and they're out there on a Saturday or a Sunday, and they're really digging in and getting the white walls and getting the rims and getting everything good. I had to do that growing up. Like, my dad would make me take a Brillo pad to the exhaust pipe.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
That's too much.
Even when the weather was cold. It was the whole thing. Yeah. No, I'm out. I got a monthly thing at the car wash I can go to, drive through. I don't get there as often as I probably should, but the bottom line is that's my thing. That's my opinion. But Keith says that he's putting into work this offseason. He would know better than me, and that we should pause on moving him. That was the thought process of a story, and that sometimes it takes a while to shoot him. Now, there was an example of using Jason Kidd in the story, which I thought was bad because Jason Kidd really cared about basketball and was really committed to basketball, and hence why after his playing days, he stayed around the game because I think he loves the game. Personally, I think he loves the game significantly more than Thibault loves the game. Like Kidd did what he had to do to be available to coach for the Mavs. He was available.
Right.
Wherever he was available. If you're not available, I usually don't think you're really that committed. But should we, so I want to ask you, and I thought this, I was like, oh, well, Connor's producer today, and he's the head of the Thibault fan club. So with all this other stuff going around, the KD stuff and all that as the backdrop, if it ends up being they do pause, they try to get KD, it doesn't work out, and they miss out on PJ Tucker, and now they bring Thibault back. This time next year, do we now think he's a reliable player? What are the odds?
Not great. I don't have a lot of faith in Matisse Thibault's ability here because the locker room, I don't know what that's going to be like after the position he put his teammates in last year with his decision and how it ended up with Joel Embiid getting that injury in the extra game, all of that stuff. There's got to be some, even if it doesn't fully come out, even if we don't hear about it, there's got to be somebody in that locker room who's a little uneasy with that.
For sure.
On top of that, there's definitely parts of the fan base, probably more than less of the fan base, is upset with him for not being available in that series in Toronto. So he's already behind the eight ball for a guy that like was already behind the eight ball to begin with. He's doubly behind it.
Right.
If he goes somewhere else, I think he could develop into someone like a player in the right situation. But
maybe
here, I think he might already be dead to rights.
And that's the part that I'm stuck at because we do things like this all the time. If a player gets traded and they develop somewhere else, then that means automatically that they would have done that here. I don't necessarily think it's the case. Sometimes a person has to be humbled. Sometimes getting traded, players look at it, they can look at it one of two ways. One is that other team wanted me. Or you can look at though the team I was on didn't want me. They look at it one of the two ways normally. If he would internalize it and say, wow, they didn't want me, why? Oh, I can't shoot. Oh, I'm not available. Let me fix that. Well, then sure. If he looks at it like, oh, the other team wanted me, I don't have to change anything, then he won't blossom.
Right, exactly. And in that same vein, though, If another team believes what we're talking about right now, his value could be higher as a trade piece than what we give it credit for being this close to the situation. Someone who does not watch him play night in and night out, who's not a Sixers fan or covers the team or whatever the case may be, could just see it as a young player who's already made two all-defensive second teams.
Right.
And just be like, okay, well, yeah, I've heard he can't shoot. I see the numbers. We'll work on it. It'll be fine. And he's more valuable to them than what we know him to be after watching him for a couple years.
Right. And that's the part where I'm saying this pause could be a good thing. The Sixers have to do full evaluations of everything, and it's coming up soon. First thing could be, what does Harden do? The rumor is, again, that with the extension, he would take less than the max. Maybe significantly less than the max. Now, is that more money than many people will still make in a lifetime? Yes. So it's not like he's going to be, you know, on welfare or anything. But it could absolutely help the situation. Well, what happens in a scenario where he takes less, he opts out and takes less this year? Now you're under the mid-level. If he took a contract that was less by a certain amount and didn't opt in, there's a path to then being able to add P.J. Tucker without trading Thibault. There's a path there.
There is.
If he does it. Now, we don't know if he would or not, but there's a path there. So the question becomes, should we pause on trading Thibault and wait and see? Because if it was me, he's untrustable to me. And I just want to be able to trust my player to do all they can in their power to be available. And, like, is it Bryce Harper's fault that he got hit with a pitch?
No, not at all.
Just like it wasn't Joel Embiid's fault he got elbowed in the face. Like, it's not, like, things happen in life sometimes. Sometimes things, you just have bad luck. As long as you do your part and do everything you can to be available, as far as I'm concerned, you're good. It's when you don't do everything you can to be available where I question you. And this, again, I'm talking about, by the way, basketball. I'm not talking about any of the stuff that people may want to imply. I'm talking about basketball. Do what you have to do. Like, it's been torrential rains outside. Like, torrential rains.
Like, unbelievable. Like, where did it come from?
Out of nowhere. So everybody be careful out there. Torrential rain. Maybe don't ride a motorcycle today at 100 miles an hour in torrential rain. If you do that, I think maybe you don't really care about being available to play or maybe even to live. But you get the point. Certain things we do to be available, certain things we don't do to be available. And that's where my trust level with him is not there. But Keith says maybe we'll regret it long term.
Well, here's the thing. Everyone can move for the right pieces. Anybody. So maybe he'll be better. Maybe you can look at it like, oh, wow, I wish we would have had that here. But the other thing is, if Keith Pompey is saying this, and I do believe that there is, like, his story holds water to some extent, well, then other teams see this too.
Right.
And you can move him for something, which is more reason to be patient to find the right place to put him, rather than just saying, oh, well, he wasn't available, he doesn't shoot, let's just trade him for whatever before free agency starts, to, like, be smart about this, because there right. is no rush right now.
And that's kind of where I'm at. And you don't rush anything for P.J. Tucker. Now, again, I'm not against P.J. Tucker as much because I want to win this year. Hence why I like to draft the Melton move right now. I want to win right now, this moment. I want to win now. I can't worry about 2-3 years down the road. And it's just where I'm at right now. I'm in a weird spot with this because I love Keith. I think Keith does a great job. And then I'm thinking, what is he seeing in Thibault that I'm not seeing? And it's just called, when people you respect say things, I think my mind was going, huh, Keith thinks he's really working on his game. And I haven't seen any of that work. I haven't seen any of that work manifest itself on the floor in any way. In fact, he's a worse shooter now than he was a rookie. But if he's saying he's putting in the work, it causes me to take a pause. And then now you throw in the KD possibility, and even if it's 0.1%, I don't care. You move heaven and earth to make that happen. You need me to hold on, Nets. How about if we get a third team? Like somebody says, oh, the Sixers don't have it. Okay. What happens if there's a third team that wants Joe Harris? So, okay, let's hold on. We'll help facilitate this. You can really tear it down and maybe you'll get picks back. We'll help you get that third team in. You have to do that too. Hey, you're not really worried about trading with us. We're going to get OKC with their treasure trove of picks, or Houston, or somebody get some of your picks back. We'll help facilitate that. We'll bring on we'll figure out a buyout with John Wall. We'll do something to help you. That's another reason why you got to pause, because that gets complicated, those 3-4 team deals. But you got to do anything to get Kevin Durant if you have even a slither of a chance. You got to pause.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right. This man covers the Phillies for the Inquirer. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline, Mr. Scott Lauber. How are you today, Scott?
Hey, Tyrone. How are you?
Doing all right, man. Appreciate you coming on the off day, coming back. We've got the West Coast and all that stuff. A lot going on. First things first, Saturday night, it happens. Harper initially angry, then in pretty good spirits. We don't have a prognosis yet officially. What are you hearing so far about the Bryce Harper thumb fracture?
Not a ton. You know, he's supposed to see a specialist in Philadelphia. I mean, my understanding, at least so far, the sense that I get from people I talk to is that it's probably going to be longer than what Mickey Moniak was, shorter than what Gene Segura is. I think they think he's going to need surgery, but I don't think they think it's season ending. Okay. So the season is got 14 more weeks left, 14 and a half more weeks left. You know, they don't think that whatever it's going to be is going to put him out for the rest of the year. So I don't know if that means he'll be back after 8 weeks, 9 weeks, 10 weeks. But, you know, I think that I don't think it's going to be on the short end. It's not going to be 6 weeks and back, but they're also, I think, hopeful still that it's not the full season.
Okay, and again, we'll find out from the doctors. I appreciate you giving what you've heard so far. So then it shifts to how will other guys step up? How do they survive without them? One game, it went well for that one game, and I guess one small sliver of positive, if you want to twist it, is yeah. The DH spot's kind of available now, and you can do some things. How do you think initially they will try to respond and counter who plays? What do you think they do with the DH spot? What do you think they do to react to the fact that they don't have Bryce Harper for a while?
Yeah, so no, I think in the short term, in the immediate term, it's going to fall on the guys who are here, right? So it's going to fall on Nick Castellanos to be better. It's going to fall on JT Realmuto to be better. Now, there were positive signs, right, in San Diego. Realmuto homered, Thursday night and Saturday night, mm-hmm. I believe it was. Castellanos had four hits yesterday. So, you know, there are some positive signs that maybe those two are rounding into shape a little bit. Now, it's funny. I talked to Kevin Long. This was in Washington on the first part of that trip. And we were talking about Schwarber and Hoskins, who at the time and Schwarber continues to really be a force sort of at the top of the lineup. And we're talking about the effect that has on the rest of the lineup. And he said to me, Kevin Long said to me, right, now we've got to get 4 and 5 going. And he was talking about Castellanos and Realmuto. And Harper was kind of the constant in all of that, right? So, like, Harper in the three hole was the one who was always going. And then, you know, you got, you know, Schwarber and Hoskins above him. And all of a sudden he had guys to drive in, and now you got to get the guys behind him and that sort of thing. Well, now they need all four of those guys, Schwarber, Hoskins, Castellanos, and Realmuto, to kind of get hot together. And I think that's really what needs to happen without Harper in the lineup, is that these guys need to get hot together and stay hot together for a while. In the longer term, I don't know. We'll see what they do in terms of, like, the trade deadline. You know, I think the expectation around baseball, rival executives and whatnot, is everybody thinks that Dave Dombrowski is going to acquire some pitching help, especially in the bullpen. We you know, yesterday, notwithstanding, where the bullpen was really good yesterday, I mean, I think everybody sort of feels like they're a pitcher or two short out there. so everyone sort of expects him to be active in the pitching market. How active he is now in terms of offense, we'll see. I think that a lot of this depends on how long Harper's out. If it's closer to 8 to 10 weeks, you're probably maybe a little bit less aggressive in trying to find another hitter, and you figure, well, try to get by with what they have. If it's longer than that, if it's closer to the 12-week mark, and into September, maybe you're a little bit more aggressive. So we'll see what they do in terms of getting help. But I think in the near term, it's going to be those top four guys in the lineup, getting them hot and staying hot simultaneously in order to continue to score runs at the level that they're going to have to score runs at.
Right. We're talking to Scott Lauber, covers the Phillies for the Inquirer. So the next thing I want to ask you about is there are people out there that thought that there should have been an immediate retaliation, even though it was pretty clear to Harper and to most that Snell didn't do it on purpose. They were saying that it doesn't matter. You got to teach a lesson, and it's not okay to come inside and miss, and you should automatically plunk a guy in return. What say you about that particular situation? Do you think the Phillies handled it correctly, or should there have been some retaliation right away Saturday or Sunday, for example, to make it clear that that wasn't okay?
I mean, look, I don't think there was any intention there. Harper doesn't think there was any intention there. Sometimes it happens. Pitcher comes inside, misses, and hits a guy. And there's not always intent behind it. So, no, I don't. I've heard that too, and I've gotten emails from people. I don't believe in that sort of thing, in an eye for an eye, just for the heck of it. I think that there is a time certainly where you have to, the players have to police themselves, and that's part of the game. And if a guy comes inside and he's and he hits a guy intentionally, well then yeah, you got to go hit one of their guys. And I think that there are situations that call for that. There's a time for that. I don't think that this was that. I think this was a guy who was pitching inside or trying to come inside on a hitter you have to come inside to if you're going to get him out. And he missed, and he hit him. And, it happens. And it's unfortunate, and you never want to see it when it happens to a star player, because we all want to watch the stars play. The fact that I was talking to somebody the other day, and, I wrote a story. It's funny. I wrote a story that appeared in the Sunday paper. It went online Friday, so of course, just before the injury, about how, something dramatic would have to happen for Bryce Harper to not be an All-Star for the first time since 2018. It's hard to believe he hasn't been an All-Star since 2018. And here we are a few weeks away from the All-Star game. He's not going to be in it. That's not good for baseball. You don't want to see that. Everyone wants to see him. He should be on a national stage. It's been too long since he's been on a national stage. Now he's not going to have the chance to do that. And that's a loss for baseball. But no, I don't think this was like an eye for an eye situation. I don't think there was intent there. I think it's part of the game, and it happens. And, and it's just an unfortunate thing that it happened when it did. And bad luck for the Phillies.
Yeah, it's just bad. Like, I agree with the intent. It was clear that the intent wasn't there. Some people were saying intent doesn't matter. I'm glad you were able to weigh in on that. I appreciate it. Now, on a positive note, Schwarber. My goodness, slow start. People were concerned. Still was kind of hitting for power. Since June's come around, my goodness, obviously he's going to have to continue to be, I don't know if he can continue to be this great, but he's going to have to continue to be excellent for them to stay afloat with Harper out. Can you talk to us a little bit about just how great he's been in the month of June?
He's been tremendous. He's been kind of like the player that he was last June. And I don't think it's a crazy thing to say that last June in Washington, when he went on that home run binge, I think it was 15 homers in 19 games, something crazy like that. But that's kind of what earned him the contract that he got in the offseason. He got it from the Phillies. He would have gotten it from somebody else if it wasn't them. That was a money-making month for him. And, it hasn't been quite to that extreme power-wise, but he's getting on base at a crazy clip and really, kind of being the sort of hitter at the top of the order that they envisioned when they decided to put him there. He's not a classic prototype leadoff hitter. He doesn't steal a ton of bases, and he's not a speed guy, and he's a power guy who's got a really good knowledge of the strike zone and knows how to get on base and work a pitcher. And it's amazing how in the first inning in particular, you look up and, like, regardless of what happens, whether he walks or gets a hit or hits a home run or strikes out, it's like 8 or 9 pitches into the at bat before it happens. And then when Hoskins was going really well earlier this month, it was, 15, 16 pitches before they got to Harper. And, That's a tough way for a pitcher to live. You look at the way they grinded down Corbin Burns in Milwaukee that day, and did the same to Zach Gallen when the Diamondbacks were here. You know, these are good pitchers who are having trouble navigating that lineup because of the top two guys. And it starts with Schwarber. He's been great. And, you know, he is a streaky hitter, and we'll see how long he can stay in this hot streak. As I said, you kind of need it now to last a little while. You know, you need it now to, you know, carry you a little bit because you don't have Harper there. So the more that they can get from their big four, the better off they're going to be.
And last, I want to ask you about, people are concerned about the rotation. Gibson, obviously not good yesterday. You mentioned that they may make a bullpen move. Do you think they may end up having to acquire another starting pitcher, not just because of ineffectiveness, just because usually over the course of the year, five isn't enough, and Falter's really your sixth guy. And some stats have showed that may in a season you need 9 or 10 guys. So you think there's a chance to go out and get a starting pitcher, maybe not a star starter, but another starter just because to have another arm?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I saw somewhere, and I've been meaning to look this up, that the Phillies and the Yankees are the two teams that have gotten the most innings from their five starters, or the most starts from their five starters.
Not to cut you off, Jason Stark had that stat last Wednesday. Those teams, that is the correct stat. Yep, you are correct.
Yeah, you know, so in other words, they've used their five starters the most and had to dip into their depth the least. And that's really where, I sort of thought from the get-go that they were going to have some difficulty, because you rarely, as you said, rarely get through a season with only five. And really, they don't have a whole lot behind their five. So, sure, I think it's a possibility. I also wonder if they'll end up, and this is just me here. I haven't heard anyone say this. No one has said this to me, but I kind of wonder whether they'll end up looking at the trade market as it starts to crystallize here in the next few weeks. And if they'll determine that maybe there are better, I don't know if this will be the case, but maybe there'll be better options in the starting market than the relief market. I mean, if you like David Robertson, he's having a very good season with the Cubs. And I know the Phillies have been down that road before, but it was injury, not performance, that sort of derailed his Phillies career. If you like David Robertson, he's out there. If you like Mark Melanson, a veteran reliever, he's out there not having a great year with Arizona. But, you know, maybe they look at the market and they decide that the back-end starter market might look better to them. And if it does, I wonder whether they do that and sort of do the reverse of last year and kind of kick Ranger Suarez into the bullpen, maybe help the bullpen that way. I don't know if they'll go that way. It's just something to think about as the deadline gets closer when they assess the market. If there are better options in the starter market, you know, I could see them doing that. You know, look, it did not look like last year, like they had a glaring need for Kyle Gibson. And they got Kyle Gibson, and he was good for them down the stretch. And they had him this year as well. So if they could do something like that, maybe that's something that they look into as the deadline draws nearer. Otherwise, you're going to have, you know, you're going to have your high-end relievers like David Bednar from the Pirates, who are going to cost a lot of money because he's not making anything and he's under control for a while. And Jorge Lopez from the Orioles, same way. So are you going to give up a lot to get a high-end reliever? We know the volatility of relievers from year to year, month to month, game to game sometimes. Or, you know, maybe you like something better on the starter market. So I do think that's something that's going to be worth watching as the next month or so unfolds and the trade market becomes a little bit clearer.
All right. Well, thank you so much for all the information, Scott. Everybody should be reading your stuff on the Inquirer every day. Fantastic, as usual. Thanks so much, and let's see. These next couple of weeks are going to be interesting.
They will be. We'll see if they can hang in there and tread water until they, you know, hopefully they'll get Harper back and maybe they can tread water and stay in it and be relevant in September with Bryce Harper. We'll see.
Yeah, let's hope so. Thanks so much, Scott. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.
All right, well, Scott Lauber on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right, he's here in a little bit more than 4 weeks, but we don't know officially yet.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.